Welcome to California Highways Route by Route. This podcast explores everything about the numbered highways in California, from Route 1 along the coast to US 395 along the Sierras, from Route 8 in the south to Route 139 in the north.
Brought to you by the California Highways webpage and Gribble Nation.
I'm Daniel Fagan. I do the California Highways webpage at www.cahighways.org.
I'm Tom Fear. I'm one of four admins at GribbleNation.org. Typically, I am the one writing about California and the Southwest.
This is episode 2.11, Route 2 in the Flatlands, Santa Monica and Los Angeles, and a little bit of Glendale. And I want to apologize. This is coming out at a little bit longer cadence than our previous episodes were. We've just both been busy and haven't been able to schedule a recording session. So there was a bit of a delay here, and there may be a bit of a delay before the next episode for similar reasons.
Having a severe cold does not help your podcasting recording ability. Trust me on that.
That and having a lot of meetings and a lot going on weekends, and my wife is going to be having surgery in 2 weeks, so it may still be a little bit of time between the various episodes. But speaking about the episodes,
so far in the season, we've been exploring California highways route by route, starting with Route 1. Over the last 10 episodes, we've covered all of current Route 1, plus the Lost Coast portions from Orange County through Humboldt County. Along the way, we've discussed the history of the various cities, the plans for freeway routings, names used for the highway, plans and projects along the highway. We've also discussed other things related to Route 1. First routes nationally and in the state. For example, where was Legislative Route 1? This all built upon the background we built in the first season of the podcast where we discussed the history of the system, which serves to explain the eras of the state highways and what we mean when we talk about legislative route numbers. The numbering approach to the state highways, which explains how the route numbers were chosen and why, the names of the state highways and how they were chosen, the organizations involved in the state highway system. If you want to catch up on any past episode, we encourage you to go to our Spotify for podcasters home at anchor.fm/CA route by route or our forever home at caroutebyroute.org and listen to the back episodes.
This episode, we turn our attention to Route 2, which today includes both an urban section through Los Angeles and Santa Monica and a more mountainous section through Glendale and the Angeles National Forest. We're dividing our discussion into two parts, the flatland portion and the portion through Glendale and the mountains. And we'll do like we do every time. We'll talk about the history of the route, proposals for freeways, the stories behind some of the names on the route, and interesting projects for the route. And this is an interesting segment for that because we have the Beverly Hills Freeway in here. This episode will cover more than just the current Route 2. We'll also look briefly at Legislative Route 2. This is the penultimate episode of the season. Our last episode finishes Route 2 by looking at Route 2 in Glendale and the mountains. We hope that in the season break, while I'm continuing to write the next season's episode, we'll bring you some special episodes. One in particular I'm looking forward to is an interview with someone from Caltrans where we'll talk about tolling systems. And I hope to be able to talk to him about all of the fake license plates I'm seeing out there, the ones with weird colors or covers or things like that, and how legal that all is. It's something I've begun to really notice as I do my driving.
So moving on to the second state route, this was the Mariposa Wagon Road, which was defined as an act to appropriate money for survey, location, construction of a free wagon road from the town of Mariposa in Mariposa County to Yosemite Valley. This was created around the same time legislatively as the Lake Tahoe Wagon Road. This would eventually become legislative route number 18, which is today's Route 140. The authorization for the survey was repealed 10 years later. In 1909, the first State Highway Bond Act funded construction from Merced to Mariposa. In 1915, Legislative Chapter 396 brought the quote-unquote Big Oak Flat State Highway into the system, which also added potential mileage to this route. In 1916, the second State Highway Bond Act extended the route to El Portal an extension of the Mariposa County State Highway lateral to or near the railway station, El Portal in Mariposa County. So this is basically the Merced River Canyon to the Yosemite Valley Railroad Station in El Portal.
There was a lot of interest in the routes to Yosemite Valley. I'm currently writing the episode on Route 4, and the fourth state highway was Tioga Pass from basically Mono Mills up to Yosemite Valley, and then it later got extended down the other side.
Yeah, the thing with Yosemite Valley, an early Yosemite National Park, a lot of the roads, well, all the roads were constructed as franchise toll roads. So they were eventually turned over as public highways, which in late 19th century terms means nobody was really maintaining them. So you had a lot of really poor automotive travel routes into the park early on. And this leads into some of the Bureau of Public Roads stuff within the park itself. There was a lot of interest in the early 20th century with improving access to Yosemite.
But now that we've covered what the second route in chronological order was, let's turn to what was the second legislative route, what became Legislative Route 2. In 1909, it was defined as going from San Francisco to San Diego, 481.1 miles, and it officially became LRN 2 in 1933, codified in 1935. And it's the other half of LRN 1. So LRN 1, as we talked about, was signed as US 101 from San Francisco north. This is from San Francisco to San Diego and was signed as US 101. And the number was chosen to parallel US 1, either as 101 or 10-1, however you want to look at it. And today it encompasses many routes, US 101, portions of Route 1 and Route 135 near Santa Maria, as we mentioned. The southern segment became what is now I-5. Portions became Route 72 and San Diego County Route S-21. And as you look at the early legislative route, there's a pattern of these things mapping to the major U.S. highways. We'll see how legislative routes 3 and 4 tend to map to things that became parts of US 99 and so on. And this we'll cover in our episode on LRN 3, Route 3.
Moving on to Signed Route 2. Signed routes were created in 1934. Initially, Signed Route 2 was Santa Monica via Santa Monica Boulevard to Junction Route 18 at Lake Arrowhead via Arroyo Seco and Cajon. Portions were signed on Legislative Routes 162, 61, 59, and later 188. LRN 162 roughly covered Santa Monica to Colorado Street and Boulevard. There is a difference between Glendale and Pasadena. LRN 61 roughly covered Glendale to Sign Route 138, which was LRN 59, at US 91, and US 66 at LRN 31. That's in Cajon Pass. LRN 59 roughly covered today's Route 138 and Route 173 from Cajon Pass to Sign Route 18, LRN 43, near Lake Arrowhead. So this is where you get Dirt State Route 173. By 1958, Sign Route 2 east of Cajon Pass was realigned off Route 173. So this was, again, before 1964, LRN 59, onto LRN 188 to Sign Route 18, and LRN 43 near Crestline. We'll be covering the LRN 159 and 188 portions more in the next episode because this is kind of the mountainous part we're talking about. Portions of LRN 162 were originally signed as part of US Route 66 before it was officially extended to Santa Monica by ASHO. But we're going to get into this story shortly. It's a good one. The key point here is those segments were unofficially signed as US 66 early, then became Sign Route 2 in 1934, then officially became US 66 a year or two later. Portions today are co-signed with US 101 and I-210. Continuing on with LRN 162, in 1933, the route from LRN 60, which is now Sign Route 1, originally Sign Route 3, is Santa Monica to Colorado Boulevard near Eagle Rock was added to the state highway system. In 1935, this route was added to the highway code as LRN 162, so it was codified. In 1957, legislative chapter 1911 removed the portion east of LRN 61, making the definition LRN 60 near Santa Monica to LRN 61 near Avenue 36. LRN 61 at Avenue 36 is basically Fletcher Drive and Eagle Rock. At the time, LRN 61 had a segment from LRN 4 to San Fernando Road, which was US Route 99, to LRN 9, Pine Route 118, at Foothill to La Cañada. My Spanish sucks.
And you're married to someone from Mexico.
I know, and we were just in Mexico, too. You might want to keep it in like that. That's actually adding some flavor to that, I think.
Yeah. So, how does this translate to today's highways? Fine Route 2 ran along Lincoln from Legislative Route 60, US 101A, former Fine Route 3, at the intersection of Pennsylvania and Olympic to Santa Monica Boulevard. It then ran along Santa Monica Boulevard to Myra, which is near Sunset. It's a little street just off of Sunset. Along Myra up to Fountain, along Fountain to Hyperion, along Hyperion to Rowena, along Rowena, that segment is now Glendale Boulevard, to Fletcher. From Fletcher to Verdugo, not all of this is currently existing due to the Glendale Freeway. LRN 162 then continued along Eagle Rock Boulevard to Colorado, which is LRN 161. It's unclear if this portion was signed as Sign Route 2. LRN 61 continued northish along Verdugo, Cañada Boulevard, and Verdugo to Foothill, Sign Route 118, LRN 9. We'll cover that section of 61 since we're going up in the mountains there in the next episode. Anything you want to add to that? Because this is really a convoluted routing, especially in that area right around where Sunset and Santa Monica come together. And we'll see that's also got some interesting implications for US 66 right there.
Well, I think you're hitting on it. It's complicated. So I think there's this perception of early 20th century Los Angeles being this really organized and intuitive street grid. Outside of downtown, it really wasn't. It's kind of a mess.
And part of the reason you had this detour along Myra up to Fountain instead of going all the way up, you know, Santa Monica, is because you had a bridge in that area over Sunset. And so it was taking the bridge and going under Sunset. And I think part of that bridge was due a bit to the Pacific Electric along Sunset at that time.
Post-1964 Route 2, today's Route 2 is confusing due to a lot of relinquishments. There's a lot. In 1963, Route 2 was defined as Route 1 near Santa Monica to Route 138 via the vicinity of Avenue 36 in Los Angeles and via Glendale and Wrightwood. The segment of Sign Route 2 east of the junction of Route 138 and Route 2 near Phelan was transferred to Route 138. This included portions of LRN 59 and LRN 188. Portions of pre-1958 Sign Route 2 along LRN 59 were transferred to Route 173. This change was likely due to the primitive nature of LRN 59 and Lake Arrowhead area. This today is the last unsurfaced segment of California State Highway. I wonder why they even keep it in the system. Was there like ever an attempt to relinquish it? I don't think the Forest Service ever really expressed interest in wanting it back.
Yeah, I've never seen anything, at least since I've been monitoring highways, where they've attempted to relinquish it. They've probably just forgotten about it.
Yeah, just threw up the gate. It's literally closed. I've hiked a large portion of it.
Therefore, they don't need to maintain it.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what happens with it, given there's a huge push now to reopen 39 at Islip Saddle. There's been things I've read in the past about it being a fire egress point for the Lake Arrowhead community.
Perhaps, but that one they could just leave as a dirt road and then they don't have to do an EIR.
Yeah, just grade it and you're good to go.
And an EIR is going to be impactful in that area.
Yeah. In 1965, Route 2 was split into two segments. Segment A, Route 1 near Santa Monica to Route 101. Segment B, Route 101 to Route 138 via the vicinity of Avenue 36 in Los Angeles and via Glendale and Wrightwood. 1990, the endpoint of Section A was changed to Route 101 in Los Angeles.
Any idea why that was done, why they did the split at 101? Were they just routing a little bit along the freeway with the completion of the freeway?
Thinking so, because like you look at the original 1964 definition, it's kind of vague for really being in a really complex area, especially around Los Angeles.
Now, in 1998, things got complicated. There were relinquishments of Route 2 that was within the city of Santa Monica. There was a relinquishment of Route 2 that was within West Hollywood. There was a change in the starting point because of the relinquishment in Santa Monica to the point where Santa Monica Boulevard crosses the city limits of the city of Santa Monica at Centennial Avenue, which effectively moved it out of the city limits of Santa Monica. Then they relinquished the route between the 405 and Moreno Drive, which is the Beverly Hills city limits, which left this little segment between Centennial and the 405 as being part of the route. And then in 2003, the legislative definition was rewritten to exclude Santa Monica, West Los Angeles, and West Hollywood, and to authorize relinquishment of Beverly Hills. And in 2010, the legislative language was cleaned up to capture all the relinquishments and allow Beverly Hills and Los Angeles relinquishments. And that was significant. You're going to say, why did they do it? If you've been on that segment of former Route 2 today, you'll see it's this nice, wide roadway. Well, before then, there was Big Santa Monica and Little Santa Monica up through Beverly Hills, pretty much from, well, roughly near the Beverly Hills, West Hollywood city limits, over near Beverly Boulevard and that area, all the way to the 405, basically till you hit Sepulveda, and then it became a normal street. And that's because you had Big and Little Santa Monica due to the red car lines, and we'll talk about that. Relinquishing it allowed the city to finally pull out those unused rail lines and make it a single wide boulevard. They couldn't do that when it was state-owned.
The current definition has four segments. The point where Santa Monica Boulevard crosses the city limits of Santa Monica at Centennial Avenue to Route 405 in Los Angeles. The point where Santa Monica Boulevard crosses the city limits of West Hollywood into the city of Los Angeles at La Brea Avenue to Route 101 in Los Angeles. From Route 101 in Los Angeles to Route 210 at La Cañada Flint Ridge via Glendale. Route 210 in La Cañada Flint Ridge to Route 138 via Wrightwood.
And I'm familiar very much with that segment in Santa Monica that is just the other side of West Hollywood, because that's where the Hollywood Fringe Festival tends to be in June. And there are loads of small theaters, especially on that segment between pretty much a block or two west of La Brea, all the way over to near Wilton and that area. So it's a really big theater row in that area. And there are a lot of studios in that area as well.
Continuing on with the current routing, a relinquished segment from Lincoln Boulevard between I-10 and Santa Monica Boulevard. A relinquished segment from Santa Monica Boulevard from Lincoln to the edge of Santa Monica. Santa Monica Boulevard from Santa Monica to I-405. A relinquished segment from Santa Monica Boulevard from I-405 to La Brea. This is the edge of West Hollywood. Santa Monica Boulevard from the city limits of West Hollywood at La Brea Avenue to Route 101 in Los Angeles. Cosine Fuse 101 between Santa Monica and Alvarado Boulevard. From Route 101 in Los Angeles to Route 210 in La Cañada Flint Ridge via Glendale, along Glendale, Alvarado, and the Glendale Freeway. Cosine with I-210 between the Glendale Freeway and Angeles Crest Highway. Angeles Crest Highway, Route 210, La Cañada Flint Ridge to Route 138 via Wrightwood.
As we said, a complicated route. And there's lots of history in this route, in the portions that were Legislative Route 162 Santa Monica to Glendale. And the three basic segments we'll talk about are the Pacific Electric, US 66, and the battles over the Beverly Hills Freeway. And there are some, even today, who at least wistfully wish the Beverly Hills Freeway had been built. It would have very much reshaped, I think, West Los Angeles, especially when combined with some of the other freeways that were proposed for West LA. So let's look at the Pacific Electric, and I'm actually a student of L.A. history. I not only am interested in the freeways, but I'm also interested in the old transit systems in L.A., I'm a member out at what used to be Orange Empire Railway Museum, now the Southern California Railway Museum in Paris, where you can still ride the red cars. So through West Hollywood, Beverly Hills, and West Los Angeles, Route 2 was split into Big Santa Monica and Little Santa Monica by the former tracks of Pacific Electric, the Santa Monica via Sawtelle Line. And I remember this split well. My grandparents lived just maybe a half a block south of Little Santa Monica off of Veteran in an apartment building, and I used to visit them all the time. This line ran along Venice Boulevard in private right-of-way along San Vicente from Venice to Burton Way, and I wanted to be clear on San Vicente without the N. San Vicente without the N is in the West Hollywood area. San Vicente with the N is in the Brentwood area on the other side of the Veterans Administration. That's how you can tell them apart. So it ran from Venice Boulevard in private right-of-way along San Vicente from Venice to Burton Way to the Beverly Hills Station, where it met the Santa Monica Boulevard line, and then ran via private right-of-way along Santa Monica Boulevard to Sawtelle, which is now the Veterans Administration, then via Ocean and Windward to Trolley Avenue in Venice. The line was built in 1896, and Pacific Electric took over operations in 1911. It was converted to a bus line in 1940. The Southern Pacific and Pacific Electric, which have the same owner, ran periodic freight through the 1970s to keep the franchise for the line active. I think they ran about one train a week to keep it open. That way they could keep the rails there. When combined with the Hollywood Sherman Line, there was Pacific Electric trackage from Sunset Boulevard to Sawtelle, and then along San Vicente to Port Los Angeles and Santa Monica. That is why, if you go along San Vicente in West L.A., there is that wide median with all the coral strips. That was the Pacific Electric line in the area from the Veterans Administration out towards Santa Monica and the port that they were trying to build out there. As I noted, this was converted to bus in 1940, and other sections were abandoned in 1953 with periodic freight through the 70s. Most of the operations were in-street running, which meant that your trains were fighting with the cars on the street, except for the private right-of-way from Beverly Hills west to Sawtelle. So now, Tom's going to talk in a minute about US 66 sharing the route. Well, so you had US 66 running to Santa Monica during the same period when you had private right-of-way running either through the middle of the street or sometimes in-street running along US 66 from Sunset all the way to the beach. These were one of the last electrified lines in the Western District to stay in operations due to the restrictions on diesel traffic. So there were restrictions within Beverly Hills in that area, in the West, what was called the Western District of the PE, to say you could not run diesel for freight. So they were using electric trains to pull the freight. This is why they were keeping the franchise open. When I was around the lines in the 1970s, by then, the lines had been de-electrified. So now let's turn to US 66, which was co-running with the Pacific Electric. And Tom's done a lot of research in this area.
So I think there's this perception that the early US route system was an orderly entity. It was anything but. And I've found over the years that this particularly applies to a huge degree with early US Route 66 in California. So anyways, the convoluted history. During 1912, the National Old Trails Road was established. During 1914, the National Old Trails Road adopted the routing of the Santa Fe Grand Canyon Needles Highway in the western United States. 7th Street and Broadway in Los Angeles was set as the western terminus of the highway. The National Old Trails Road is ultimately signed by the Automobile Club of Southern California, or the ACSC is your acronym. During November 1926, the U.S. route system is established by ASHO. That's important, and I'll touch on that in a second. US 66 is designated as the Chicago-Los Angeles Highway. This was intended originally to be US 60, but there was some political things in the early development of the US route system which ended up having it redesignated as US 66. I believe it was Kentucky was upset that they didn't get a east-west route ending in zero. Nonetheless, No established routing the US 66 in Los Angeles is decided upon as the US route system is created. That's really important to note. There's no established routing. ACSC records seem to indicate US Route 66 was planned on their end to be signed to 7th Street and Broadway via an overlay of the National Old Trails Road. This may have even been published in some ACSC maps from the 1928 to 1932 era. But to be clear, it was never signed to 7th and Broadway. During 1927 and 1928, there is notable confusion between the California Highway Commission and ASHO whether the western terminus of US 66 would be located in the city of Los Angeles or San Fernando, based off the November 1926 route description. So if you follow that early route description, it essentially insinuates it's implied to follow LRN 9 to US 99 in San Fernando. ASHO clarifies the intended western terminus as Los Angeles. That is the intended control point city. On June 18, 1929, the Santa Monica Outlook announced Los Angeles intended to aid the city of Santa Monica in signing US 66 to their boundaries. The Los Angeles city engineer, John C. Shaw, was directed by the Los Angeles City Council to cooperate with extending US 66 to Santa Monica. At the time, US 66 was signed to a western terminus at the Los Angeles-Pasadena city limit at the western edge of the Colorado Street Bridge. The planned routing for US 66 in Los Angeles to Santa Monica would follow Pasadena Avenue, York Boulevard, Eagle Rock Boulevard, Fletcher Drive, Glendale Boulevard, Rowena Avenue, Hyperion Avenue, Fountain Avenue, Myra Avenue, and Santa Monica Boulevard. There wasn't a specific ending in Santa Monica given in this news article. Much of this routing would eventually become LRN 162 and later sign Route 2. Note that the eventual segment of LRN 162 along Eagle Rock Boulevard from Colorado to Avenue 36/Fletcher is more or less the vestige of this. During 1930, the Los Angeles City Council elected to have the Auto Club, ACSC, sign US 101 and US 99 in Los Angeles city limits. City Council did not sign US 66 due to the uncertainties surrounding the routing within Los Angeles.
I think that also showed that, at least at the time, US 101 and US 99 were much more important than US 66. Nowadays, pop culture would have you believe otherwise.
It's interesting. There's some notes that we probably aren't going to touch on in a bunch of detail, but I'll kind of mention it now. If you look at the ASHTO database relating to all of this, there's a lot of chatter from the city of Los Angeles. They were not happy they didn't get US 60, and they were really upset that they got 66. And I think that's funny now, like a century after the fact, to think that, like, given what 66 became as far as a pop culture icon, but they really wanted the route ending in zero. That was what they were promised. And apparently nobody really told them. There was like this whole thing going on with Kentucky. So the city council was very, very angry. In December 1930, Santa Monica requested that the Los Angeles City Council pay the Auto Club to sign US 66 through Los Angeles to their city limit. The city council approved the request of Santa Monica during January 1931, and the Auto Club field signed US 66 through Los Angeles, originating in Colorado Boulevard in Pasadena. The routing news was the same described in the June 1929 Santa Monica Outlook. In April 1931, ASHA requested the California Highway Commission retract US 66 signage back to somewhere in Los Angeles. As a result, the Auto Club agreed to withdraw US 66 signage from Santa Monica back to Los Angeles, ending at Fletcher Drive and San Fernando Road. Again, this was US 99. In a November-December 1931 exchange between the ASHO Executive Secretary and the California State Highway Engineer, the endpoint signage of US 66 was said to be US 99 at San Fernando Road via Fletcher Drive. There were several ideas to extend US 66 signage to US 101 at Sunset Boulevard, but nothing at the time was agreed upon. By 1934, documents from ASHO and the California State Highway Engineer show US 66 had moved to an end at US 101 at Sunset Boulevard with a route via Broadway. So it did get to Broadway eventually, but not to 7th Street. This terminus was intended to reach downtown Los Angeles via the incomplete Figueroa Street corridor, which was LRN 165. Actual routing of US 66 between Colorado Boulevard in Pasadena and North Broadway, which is shown on the 1935 Division of Highways map of Los Angeles, is based off a 1934 survey of the existing state-maintained roads. So these are the initial roads the state absorbed in 1933 when they were allowed to begin maintaining urban mileage. So it followed Avenue 64, York Boulevard, a completed portion of Figueroa Street, Riverside Drive, another portion of Figueroa Street, and Solano Avenue to reach North Broadway. This was later simplified to all Figueroa to Sunset. Once the Figueroa Street tunnels were completed and Figueroa was completed to Colorado. The interim routing and eventual Figueroa routing was LRN 165, which was defined in 1933 as San Pedro to LRN 9, again, sign route 118, near La Cañada via Figueroa Street. In June 1935, ASHA officially approved the extension of US 66 to Santa Monica. So it got to Santa Monica eventually. Not when everyone wanted it, but it got there in time. Initially, the proposed routing to Santa Monica was Colorado Boulevard to Santa Monica, Eagle Rock Boulevard, formerly Glass Hill Avenue, and Fletcher Drive to US 99 at San Fernando Road. US 66 continued westward via Glendale Boulevard, Rowena Boulevard, Hyperion Avenue, Meyer Avenue, and the viaduct under Sunset Boulevard and Santa Monica Boulevard to the city of Santa Monica. A quick reminder, the previous signage placed in 1931 west of San Fernando Road was not approved by ASHO. U.S. route control cities and endpoints cannot be changed without approval of the ASHO Executive Committee. That's a really key point to remember. So it kind of gets interesting as you go further along in the U.S. route system. You don't necessarily need to go to the ASHO Executive Committee to change the endpoint of a U.S. route in a city that's already established as the end control point. But if you want to change the city, you need to get that approval. This proposed routing explains the Eagle Rock Boulevard segment of LRN 162. But ASHA wanted US 66 to go from North Broadway to Sunset. This appears problematic because they wanted US 101, US 99, and US 66 to meet. But US 99 was on San Fernando Road and Avenue 26, not near Sunset. Originally, US 99 followed US 66 east from Pasadena to San Bernardino, which that's a very rare fact. You usually won't hear that. US 99 was never signed between Avenue 26 and downtown Pasadena, so this is essentially a signage gap in early US Route 99. During 1934, US 99 was rerouted onto the corridor of the Ramona Expressway, so Legislative Route 26. US 101, pre-freeway, was along Macy and Sunset to Cahanga. US 66 was not only on Figueroa, but not on Broadway. The 1935 submitted definition was beginning at the intersection of North Broadway and Sunset Boulevard and the junction of US 66. US 99, and US 101 in the city of Los Angeles. Thence, northwesterly over Sunset Boulevard, so this is State Highway Route 2, LRN 2, and US 101 to Santa Monica Boulevard, hence westerly over Santa Monica Boulevard, a city street, to Meyer Avenue, and the junction of State Highway 162, LRN 62, and Sign Route 2, thence continuing westerly over Santa Monica Boulevard, again, LRN 162, and Sign Route 2, which is also on Legislative Route 2, through the cities of Los Angeles and Beverly Hills to the intersection of Santa Monica Boulevard and Lincoln Boulevard in the city of Santa Monica. Thence southerly along Lincoln Boulevard to a terminus at Pennsylvania Avenue, a total distance of 13 miles. So where did US 66 end? Because I know that's kind of a confusing definition because there are a lot of moving pieces and similar sign route numbers and legislative route numbers in there. Despite signs claiming otherwise, such as the Santa Monica Pier, US 66 ended where sign route 2 ended, at US 101A, or what was originally intended to be sign route 3. So this is legislative route 60. There was an interim terminus at Ocean while the McClure Tunnel was reconfigured road traffic. Once the McClure Tunnel reopened, everything went this way. Recall, US 101A ran through the McClure Tunnel to turn on Lincoln at Pennsylvania Avenue, which later became Olympic. Thus, US 66 ended at Lincoln and Olympic. There's even a sign there today.
Right in front of Mel's Drive-In, which used to be the Penguin Drive-In.
Yep. Key to the formal extension of US 66 was the change of sign Route 3 on Roosevelt Highway, which we now know as Pacific Coast Highway, to US 101A. This satisfied the desire of ASHA to have US 66 terminate on another US highway. Previously, it had been US 101, North Broadway, and Sunset. Now it was US 101A, Pennsylvania and Lincoln.
And now we'll give Tom's voice a rest, and I will tell you the interesting saga of the Beverly Hills Freeway. This is one of the successful freeway revolts in Los Angeles. And many people appreciate that the Glendale Freeway, Route 2, from just north of US 1 to I-210, is an under-trafficked gem. It's a really empty freeway. I've rarely seen it crowded. In fact, when I'm traveling from Northridge, very often it will be faster for me to take the 210 out to the 2, go down to the 5, and then continue on the 5 rather than getting on the 5 directly. What most people don't realize, it was intended to connect to a lot more. The original plan was to have Route 2 turn west near Sunset. If you recall, the Glendale Freeway itself is running south, maybe a little bit southwest down Glendale. It would turn west near Sunset, cross US 101 near Vermont Melrose, which is why the freeway gets wider there, then continue across Santa Monica Boulevard through Beverly Hills, ending at a junction with I-405. There was never any plans for it to go further west from the 405. This was to be the Beverly Hills Freeway, and it was one of the first successful freeway revolts in Southern California, and you can probably guess why. Planning for the Beverly Hills Freeway, which at the time was still called the Santa Monica Parkway, as it ran along Santa Monica Boulevard, shows up in the 1940s. The Street Traffic Management Plan for LA from 1948 shows the Santa Monica Parkway running from the Ocean Parkway, which was essentially Route 1 now, through Beverly Hills to a junction with the Hollywood Parkway, what became US 101, and the Alessandro Parkway, future Glendale Freeway. And you're wondering why Alessandro? If you recall your ancient romance novels, there was the book Ramona, the romance between Ramona, a Spanish woman, and the Indian Alessandro. If I think I have that right, I may have that reversed. And so you had the Ramona Parkway, which is what eventually became I-10, and the Alessandro Parkway, her lover. That was the future Glendale Freeway. And it continued to parallel to the Harbor Parkway. That latter parallel segment would go away. The basic routing for the Santa Monica Parkway was an early planning variation for the future Beverly Hills Freeway proposal. By 1961, studies were in progress for the Beverly Hills Freeway between the San Diego Freeway near Westwood and the Hollywood Freeway. Extensive research was being conducted for this project in land value study zones in order to provide comparable estimates of right-of-way needs for the possible alignments they were considering. It was anticipated that those studies would be completed ahead of a public meeting sometime in 62. An article in the LA Times in December 1961 showed the connection between the Glendale Freeway and the Beverly Hills Freeway. The route would have run just south of Santa Monica Boulevard, so it wouldn't have been on Santa Monica itself, crossing US 101 near Vermont. And this is why, if you drive the US 101 today, there's this wide divided portion of the US 101 between Melrose and Beverly. It was making space for the eventual interchange near Melrose of the Beverly Hills Freeway. They were sort of laying the groundwork to do it while they were building the freeway. In March and April 1963, it was noted that the route for the connecting link of the Glendale Freeway between the Hollywood Freeway at Vermont and the southerly end of the constructed Glendale Freeway was adopted by the Highway Commission. Included in this portion of the 8-lane freeway was an interchange with the Hollywood Freeway that would require extensive revision of the existing Hollywood Freeway from Virgil to Normandy. A 1966 Thomas Brothers map shows the adopted routing, with interchanges at Glendale and Alessandro, Sunset, Silver Lake, and US 101. Continuing from the current terminus at Glendale, it would have paralleled Waterloo and tangentially touched McCallum near Mayberry and Berkeley. The map shows streets closed that are open today, with bridges at Berkeley and Benton Way. Now, it looks like there has been some infill development in that area, to the interchange with Sunset just north of the Silver Lake Bridge. If you look at today's map, run just east of McCallum between Apex and Effie, go between McCallum Street and Coronado, veer west after the bridge to Berkeley, then another bridge at Benton and Scott, which is the start of the Sunset interchange. The route then continued west about a half a block south of Melrose to meet US 101 at Melrose in Vermont. There were bridges at Michael Terena, Hoover, Virgil, and Vermont, just south of LA City College. So your freeway would have been basically just on the edge of LA City College, down near where the Hyperion Theater used to be, over in that area. West of US 101, there were two potential freeway corridors. There was what was called the Red Corridor. This was a freeway routing that began at the Hollywood Freeway near Vermont and Western and extended west through the South Hollywood District in the vicinity of Melrose, passing through the Beverly Hills residential area north of Santa Monica Boulevard, terminating approximately where Sunset meets the 405. So if you're thinking about it, we're running north of Santa Monica Boulevard, then up through those hills and along Sunset. Specifically, it started at Ardmore, just south of Melrose on an elevated alignment, passed under Melrose slightly west of what was then the RKO Studios and Paramount Studios. This is roughly Channel 5 in the Paramount Studios today. Continued along a depressed alignment, north and parallel to Melrose Avenue, becoming elevated again west of Fairfax. Continued elevated west along Santa Monica Boulevard, passing under Doheny and Arden Drive in Beverly Hills. At Maple Drive, it became elevated again, continued over Sunset at Alpine, continuing alternating depressed and elevated through Beverly Hills, Bel Air, Holmby Hills, and Westwood, terminating at I-405 and Sunset with a pair of ramp connections extending westerly into Brentwood, roughly where the Sunset 405 interchange is. Just picture that in your mind. You've got an elevated freeway north of UCLA going along all those mansions along Sunset near the Beverly Hills Hotel, eviscerating a large number of studios in the area and residential in the area. You can see why that route had problems. So what was the Blue Corridor? The Blue Corridor started at the same point. Okay, so we're Ardmore and it's just south of Melrose. Went west along Beverly Boulevard to Santa Monica Boulevard, and then along Santa Monica Boulevard to the 405. So now we're running straight along Santa Monica Boulevard. There were alternatives to avoid various churches, such as the big Mormon temple over on Santa Monica Boulevard near Ohio, and the basic route would have been elevated. So here now, you've got an elevated route just south of the major mansions in Beverly Hills, but right at the edge of the Beverly Hills Business District, right along the top of the Fox Studio, because Century City hadn't been built yet. Another messy route. Freeway adoption hearings were planned for 1964, and the Beverly Hills City Council adopted policy in November 63 stating that such project must not take any single-family residences in Beverly Hills, nor remove, destroy, or reduce any of its parks, nor interfere with any of its churches or schools. It expresses that the freeway must be depressed at least 20 feet below the surface throughout Beverly Hills. These restrictions laid the foundation for the April 64 report on the geometric design of Beverly Hills Freeway for Beverly Hills City Council. This pushed for the Santa Monica Boulevard route. A 1975 Thomas Brothers map essentially shows the Blue Corridor, this was the one along Santa Monica, as the accepted corridor between US 101 and the Beverly Hills city limit. The route runs westerly, south of Melrose, to the edge of the Evergreen Cemetery, Paramount Studios, two blocks east of Rossmore, where it turns diagonally to be between Willoughby and Waring, two blocks south of Santa Monica Boulevard. It continues westerly in a straight line until intersecting Santa Monica Boulevard, Route 2, in West Hollywood near Hancock Avenue. West of that point, there was no proposed freeway shown, nor does the Thomas Brothers Guide show any intersections for that portion. So they really, this was an indeterminate alignment at that point. Now, according to an article in the Beverly Hills Weekly, the very plans for the proposed freeway to serve Beverly Hills were the original plans for the Santa Monica Freeway. The route selected by the publisher of the Santa Monica Outlook and the chair of the State Highways Commission, McClure, same fellow the McClure Tunnel was named after, was to run near Pico Boulevard, not Santa Monica. However, this was opposed by major business interests in Beverly Hills. The rationale was that with the Santa Monica Freeway running near the southern borders of the city, customers from Beverly Hills stores could more easily reach both the downtown Los Angeles and Santa Monica shopping districts, and the freeway could make development of competing office buildings on the booming west side more accessible. As a result of these protests, the route of the Santa Monica Freeway was changed to its current routing, which is south of Pico, roughly along Adams at the point west of that, down near La Brea. Conveniently, although this was never explicitly mentioned, it tended to run through wealthier African-American neighborhoods as opposed to the Beverly Hills neighborhood. In the 1960s, the Beverly Hills City Council offered strong support for a freeway between the two Santa Monica Boulevards that would connect to the Hollywood Freeway on the east and the north and be a second link to the beach. However, this was too close to the pricey real estate just north of Santa Monica Boulevard. It was also seen as a permanent divider between the north and south areas of the city. To resolve the issue, the Department of Highways proposed a cut-and-cover freeway. In fact, the geometric design study indicated that a fully depressed and concealed freeway was feasible. However, the cost of that construction was four times normal cost. The city council could also not ensure it would be below ground. So although the route was on the books, the state couldn't give assurances of below ground construction. The political realities were not lost on Anthony Bielanson, who I remember as being a long time, I want to say city councilman, but I think he also then became a state senator and went to Congress, who made sure the Beverly Hills Freeway died a quiet demise in the assembly. It was officially canceled in 1975. And as you can see, this was a really, really complicated history. And I don't think the Beverly Hills Freeway would have ever been accepted. You think the troubles we had with the passing of freeway gap closure were bad. This was equal. This one they succeeded. And I remember hearing articles about Lucille Ball actually protesting the freeway. And if you think about it, not only did she live in Beverly Hills, but it would have cut right through her studio. Where was Desi Lu located, right? Desi Lu was making Star Trek in the late 60s. It was located right along Santa Monica Boulevard there. Tom, you want to say anything on the Beverly Hills Freeway?
So I think it's interesting. You look at like all those stipulations that Beverly Hills put on how that freeway needed to be designed. There's no way it was going to happen, even in the 60s. Like just looking at it through like the lens of over half a century of retrospect and 2020 vision, like there's just, that's impossible.
You think that an equivalent, let's kill it through kindness approach was what was taken to the 710 gap closure when they said, all right, you need to make it depressed. You cannot build it above ground.
Well, 710's a little bit different because you had a lot more parties on board, and it was just really South Pasadena that didn't want the adopted design, and it got past 1970, and that's when you get CEQA and NEPA involved, and it died a different death. It was a much, much longer thing. And
it was longer, but I think once they said it had to be a subway, it had to be a tunnel through the area, it became just unfeasible.
Yeah, but it really wasn't supposed to be a tunnel through all of that originally. It was just supposed to be South Pasadena.
Right. I'm saying the fact that they made it a tunnel through all of it was a way to say, all right, you're going to end up killing it now.
Yeah. But it took way longer to get to that point. But yes, the tunnel basically did kill it.
Yep. So that's some of the interesting history there.
So moving on to relinquishments. The following segments of Route 2 have been relinquished. Route 2 in Santa Monica, Route 2 east of I-405 in Route 2 east of I-405 to Beverly Hills, Route 2 in West Hollywood.
And I forgot to put it on here, Route 2 in Beverly Hills.
Should I just read that for you?
No, I just said it. Now, in terms of projects, well, given that most of this part of the route has been relinquished, there's been little Caltrans work on the route. There were a number of complete street projects. I remember a lot of work being done on the segments in the theater district where they were trying to improve it. Last time I was down there, they hadn't done a lot of improvement there. It's a very crowded area with really bad parking. If you ever go to the Hollywood Fringe Festival, hollywoodfringefestival.org, by the way, I recommend it. They have like 400 shows all in that little area of Hollywood during the month of June. You can see lots of interesting theater if you like theater. But parking, oh, is it horrible down there. No real projects in that area. And I'll jump ahead. There have been no real formal names along this segment either.
No real need.
Yep.
I mean, Santa Monica Boulevard, it's like literally in songs and associated with famous highways. Was the point of changing it. Next time a California highway is route by route, we complete our exploration of Route 2 by looking at the LRN 61 portions of the route, the older surface routings in Glendale, the Glendale Freeway, and the mountain routing of the Angeles Crest Highway. So that's a personal favorite of mine. The Angeles Crest Highway is a lot of fun.
And there's loads of history for the Angeles Crest Highway. As I recall, it was built by convict labor.
It was. A large portion was.
For more information, visit the pages on Route 2, LRN 162, LRN 61, and US 66 over on cahighways.org. There are a bunch of Gribble Nation blogs on this, especially as Tom was exploring the terminus of Route 66 after the ASCO archives were discovered. We'll link to all of them. And there are some additional links on the Beverly Hills Freeway, I know, that I discovered while researching this that I'll put on the show page at carouteByroute.org.
As always, information on this episode is available at our website, carouteByroute.org, where you can leave us comments on the episode. This episode is also available on our anchor.fm home, anchor.fm/carouteByroute. Join us as we continue to explore California highways route by route.
And I also want to encourage folks to subscribe to the podcast, like the podcast, favorite the podcast, leave good reviews. Let's see what we can do to get our listenership up. This episode was written by Daniel Fagan and Tom Beer, edited and produced by Daniel Fagan. Our opening theme is I Like to Be by the Seaside by John H. Glover Kind. I discovered it's actually a piano roll, which is why it's in the public domain. If you have an opening theme you might think might be good for our show and is either in the public domain or you're willing to let us use, please let me know. Episodes are recorded using freeconferencecall.com. The podcast is a product of California Highways at cahighways.org and Gribble Nation at gribblenation.org. And as usual, our closing thoughts, Tom. I'm sure so, you have some thoughts on the US 66 portion.
I do. Recently, I was talking to Adam Prince about the Minaret Summit Highway, and one of the topics we were discussing, Adam is, for listeners, is one of the admins at Gribble Nation. There's this perception in the highway community that, like, everything is known, and I've always found that perception to be incorrect. And I think this segment of Route 2 and US 66 really proves that. Let's think about that for a second. How long, how many years there was this preconceived notion that for certain US 66 ended in downtown Los Angeles, 7th Broadway, and it just took research by a couple people, and granted, now that includes me, to blow that whole narrative up. And like, for me, as somebody who's like a US 66 fan, because I lived in Arizona for a long time, like that was really exciting to find all those old documents, seeing like this really complex and intricate history that like just got somehow completely forgotten about on like one of the most notable and well-known highways that's ever existed. And it really goes to show, don't assume you know everything about a road. Like, there's always a history to a road, and that used to be kind of the old tagline on the Gribble Nation blog site. Every road has a history, and just because you think you know everything, I'd say dig a little bit deeper. There's a pretty good chance that you don't. There's always something
new. And it also shows, don't believe the signs, right? Because US 66 is signed on the Santa Monica Pier is the end of US 66. Well, it never went to the Santa Monica Pier. It's signed basically at the bluffs over the California incline, and only for a very brief portion before the McClure Tunnel was built did it go there. And we talked about with Route 1, that was when Route 1, or pre-US 101A, went to the California incline. And that was a very short portion. And I think, aren't there even some signs that show it ending at 7th and Broadway? Didn't someone convince the city to put historic US 66 signs there?
It's actually not a historic 66 conventional sign like that. It's like a US 66 landmark sign. And for some reason, it says that it ended there until 1939. I have a picture of it. It's very odd. I don't know where they're getting that 1939 from, but it kind of goes back to, again, like a lot of this information didn't have very specific dates until the ASHO database was located, and you could find the actual applications. Like it was already extended to Santa Monica officially by 1935, but yeah, the closest it ever got was Sunset in Broadway.
So don't always believe the signs. Now, for me, what I like about Route 2 is more the Santa Monica and Beverly Hills history. I mean, I spent loads of time at my grandparents over on Veteran Boulevard and was there with the division between Little Santa Monica and Big Santa Monica, which sort of started some interest in the Pacific Electric. And if you ever studied the history of Los Angeles, you'd learn the history of Pacific Electric routings. And as we've touched upon, many of those routings became major streets in Los Angeles, became state highways, became very influential in the way the city was shaped. So that was part of it. And then the whole study of the Beverly Hills Freeway, and we didn't even talk about the proposed interactions that might have been there between something like the Beverly Hills Freeway now and the Laurel Canyon Freeway, which would have been going down Highland, coming down Laurel Canyon, going over towards Highland down La Cienega, which would have run along the eastern edge of Beverly Hills. And just imagine how those freeways would have reshaped the whole West Los Angeles area in terms of development. You probably would have lost a lot of your whole exclusivity and high value in those areas. And it would have been a lot easier, yes, faster to travel through those areas, but I think it would have really increased congestion and very much changed the character of the city and quite possibly decimated the studio business that's in that area. So although Route 2 is sort of a shell of its former self, this has just been a very influential route in the city of Los Angeles, in the city of Beverly Hills, now in the city of West Hollywood. And we didn't even really touch along the portions in Santa Monica itself, where it was a major route, much more so than Wilshire became. You had major businesses located along there, and for the longest time, you could recognize former US 66 Route 2 by the motels that existed along Santa Monica Boulevard and the car dealerships, as always, if you look for them, that were along Santa Monica Boulevard in West Los Angeles and in Santa Monica. One piece of advice a coworker once gave me back when I was getting involved with the railroad museums is you can always tell old U.S. highways by the proliferation of old motels and car dealerships. And that's still very much true today. You want to add anything to that, Tom?
No, I think we got it.
I meant about the U.S. the car dealerships and hotels.
Oh, speaking of railroads, you can also find that most U.S. routes followed some sort of railroad line, and again, this would be no exception.
Yeah, and with that, we will end this episode. Our last episode of the season, we'll be talking about Route 2 through Glendale, into the mountains, through the Angeles Crest Highway, all the way over to U.S. 91, and originally ran further from there, and U.S. 91 nowadays is what is Route 15. So with that, we will say goodbye, and there'll probably be a bit of a delay before the last episode just because of things going on in the real world, but we look forward to talking to you then.